Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, all of my BSN and coffee listeners. I hope everybody is having a wonderful, wonderful day. I am so happy to be back. I know it's been about a couple of weeks. Actually, it's been a while. I first of all want to thank everybody who has liked and subscribed to our podcast through Spotify or Apple, even Pandora, because we are now available there as well. I would also like to thank y'all for sharing and liking our Facebook page. As many of you know, we do have a Facebook page. You are more than welcome to go and, you know, follow our page and like it as well. That's where I also post any updated episodes as well. I just want to thank y'all. I want to thank y'all so much. I know that this is a very small step because it is a smaller podcast. I know there is many, many crime podcasts out there, but I think it has a lot to do with the interaction that I myself, your host, Alejandra, will have with all of you, my beautiful listeners. I just want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. Thank y'all so much for always listening. It's amazing. I appreciate it. I really do. I just ask that y'all please continue to support, just through my journey, honestly. And I ask that y'all please share with your friends our podcast and as well as our Facebook page. So I'm here with y'all today because I would like to give y'all a couple of updates. As many of you know, we left off on the Gabby Petito case. We were kind of bringing in other cases slowly to make sure that, you know, we also get information of all the other cases that have kind of gone quiet. And so I've got a couple of updates and a very good timeline for you now that the Gabby Petito case has, I don't want to say ended, because this is kind of where it begins again, being the fact that they have now officially found, Brian Laundrie's remains. So as many of you know, as many of you have probably heard, this is obviously not any new news to anybody, but, you've heard that Brian Laundrie's, remains were found. And so basically what happens from here is we wait for everybody who has hands on this case to finish up their loose ends. Obviously they had to take whatever was left of his body, because from my understanding there was not much, but there was some, and so they've got to examine all of that. Remember, they had to positively identify the body as Brian Laundrie, in which my understanding and from where I have been looking up my information, which is accurate, they were able to do it through dental records. And so he was 100% identified. His family has identified and confirmed, their lawyer has confirmed, I could say, now that Brian Laundrie's remains were found, they were his. So we won't waste any more time. I just wanted to begin with a, slight update on the timeline, and we can kind of just rerun the case a little bit. I also want to throw in here that we will be doing one full episode for the Thomas Brown case. If many of you are not aware who Thomas Brown is, definitely stay tuned. I will make sure and get that episode up and going. I would like to fully dedicate one full episode to him. He deserves that. And we will be doing that. So I'll give you a little bit of background so you can stay intrigued. So basically, Thomas Brown was a teenager who lived in Canadian. If many of you know or don't know, that are listening all over the world, I am initially from Amarillo, Texas. I do not live in Amarillo, Texas any longer, but I am from there, and we had heard this case because Canadian isn't very far from Amarillo. This is a case that everybody lived, breathed. We didn't sleep. Like, we literally were right behind this case every single moment. And unfortunately, this poor family still has yet to receive any justice at all. Basically, Thomas Brown went missing on Thanksgiving in 2016. And so, you know, his anniversary is coming up. And so we would definitely like to air one full episode to him. And we will be doing that. Now, his body was not, I want to say his remains, not his body, I apologize, but his remains were found in 2019. So almost 2 years later, his body was found, and it was about 19 miles east of Canadian, which was located inside of Lake Marvin. Now, I tell you to stay tuned because there are so many twists and turns to this case that will leave you jaw-dropped, literally. There is so many insinuations. I want to say that because there's just so much going on with that case. that it wasn't properly handled. Canadian is a small town, and so there isn't as much as, you know, as to where in a big city, I'm going to compare Amarillo, we have a very big police department, as to where Canadian does not, you know. There is speculation of some sheriffs being involved. There's speculation of somebody trying to cover something up. So we will dive into this case specifically, and we will dedicate one full episode, being that his anniversary is coming up here pretty soon. So I ask that y'all please just kind of join us and stay tuned for that. It will be pretty quick. Now, I would like to move forward and go ahead and start with the timeline for the Gabby Petito case. So many of you know that back in July, you know, 2020, they were engaged, specifically July 2nd. This was exactly 1 year before they had started their cross-country trip. So they announced their engagement. Many of you have seen on their Instagram that there was a picture of Gabby and Brian, of course, where he had posted, "Till death do us part, I knew you were gonna say yes." So that happened back in July. Now, fast forward to December, it was basically when they bought this van. If you have not heard about this case, or you're new to this case, or don't know much around the case, basically, the van was purchased in December because they initially wanted to, you know, it's called Garden on Wheels, I guess you could say, and so they had began adventures, from my understanding. They loved plants, they loved the outdoors, and so there was new adventures that they were you know, coming through, they were doing, and they wanted to explore together, which is great, right? So maybe from the outside looking in, everybody's thinking to themselves, right, well, these things are going to happen, like arguments are going to happen. Everybody, I think when you look at it, if you're married or if you live with your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you know what I'm talking about. It's so hard to be confined in a home sometimes with somebody 24/7, you know, and I've been there. I think we all have been there. So nobody is perfect. Nothing is perfect. Everybody goes through it. And so I think when everybody thought this van, they were like, it's a great idea, right? Nobody thought of all of the craziness that came with it, because you're just confined to a van together. And so basically they bought this van back in December. They wanted to, you know, have a new adventure, and they basically wanted to start a journey. So throughout the state, what they did was, back in July, which was the following year of 2021, specifically 1 exact year from the time that they announced their engagement, they were in Blueport, New York, where you know, Gabby Petito is originally from. They went to celebrate her younger brother's graduation from high school. They ended up leaving New York on July 2nd as planned. What they were going to do was go on a 4-month cross-country trip, and they basically were just going to kind of go along, hike, look at the outdoors, take pictures, enjoy it, but they were going to live in this van for the next 4 months together, right? And so things are obviously, you know, starting to develop, things are going, and obviously everything is going to start good, you know? It's one of those things where you start a road trip, and I'm going to say this because I've gone on many road trips with my husband. It's one of those things where you leave great. It's all fun and games until you're tired, hungry, you're confined to a car, and they didn't have children, but we do. And so it's the crying, the tiredness, the driving, all of it. And so just keep in mind, like, it's hard, you know, it's rough. And they weren't just going from city to city. They were going state to state to state, okay? So apparently, according to their family attorney, they had gotten engaged, but they ended up postponing their wedding plans because the coronavirus pandemic, right? Because around this time is kind of when everything started to go chaos. You know, they decided to just take this trip instead, which you would think is a good idea, you know? Being that coronavirus hit very hard, I think it's something that, I just want to say, like, I think it's something that would definitely, you know, be great for you and somebody who loves the outdoors, who wants to be outdoors, because obviously everything was closed. The stores were closed. A lot of, you know, places to go and see and sightsee were not, because it's the outdoors. Everything open was open to the public. So they basically wanted to go on this road trip. They had canceled it because of the pandemic, but they did begin driving. And so they bought a 2012 Ford Transit van, which is the one we referenced to earlier. They basically converted the inside so that they could be able to camp inside. They could cook, and it was actually really nice. If you look on their social media, Instagram, or if you go on to Gabby Petito's YouTube, you can see the inside of their van, and it looked amazing. It really did. So basically, they traveled and they went from Florida to Kansas, Colorado, and then Utah. And they just basically went in and started touring, camping. They went into national parks. They were national attractions, stuff like that. So they were able to do all of that together. Specifically, they started their journey from New York and they arrived in Kansas on July 4th. That's kind of where they began sightseeing, taking pictures, being together, just spending that time together, right? So from Kansas, they ended up going and heading up to Colorado. They were in Colorado for approximately July 8th through the 10th. I apologize for that. Basically from Colorado, you know, Utah's not too far from Colorado, so they were able to go ahead and head up to Utah. They did spend quite some time in Utah. So, you know, Utah's pretty big and it's really great for hiking, seeing the outdoors, all of those lakes. And so they started there on July 16th and they did not end up leaving until possibly after August 12th, which is basically where this ends, right? Their timeline ends as far as their trip. You know, this is kind of where things start getting a little bit weird. In August 12th was basically their altercation. As many of you know, there was that video that was out there circulating Facebook, the internet, the news. Everybody had already seen it. This is when the phone call comes in that there is a couple arguing. And keep an open mind. I'm going to say it that way. When this did happen, that this call came through, remember, everybody was turning it and making it seem as if Gabby was not the victim. Okay, everybody made it seem like Brian was the victim. Let me tell you something. I've said this and I've said it many times. If you don't understand what it's like to have a relationship with a narcissist, you wouldn't understand what his behavior is showing, you know? And unless you've never had a relationship with a narcissist, but you've studied or looked into it, then you would totally understand. Basically, it's just the way he was as a person. The way he acted, especially when they were stopped. He was trying to charm all of the officers, and that's something that you definitely do. You try to get them on your side, and he did that very well, very, very well. So basically what you do is you just charm everybody. You know, a narcissist tries to get everybody on their side to think that they're the victim, that they're the ones who are only trying to do the right thing. And that's narcissistic behavior, you know. Basically, they were stopped for this whole incident. Now, when the release came that Gabby had actually been the victim, which I 100% agree. If you watch that video over and over again, I've told y'all many, many times, listeners, watch it. Definitely watch it. If you watch it, you basically see this big old handprint right on her arm throughout the video. And if you think about it, they basically, like, she folds her arms in and you can see the whole handprint on her arm. And then not only there, but on her face as well, you can see where she was grabbed from her face. And she does explain that in the video, you know, but yet these officers didn't seem to really care. They even at one point tell her to stop crying. You definitely don't do that. That's something that I think is very unprofessional. Not only that, but I personally, and I don't even have any background working in the police field, you know, it's just a person looking in, you can tell she needed help. She just didn't know how to ask for it, you know? It's very hard when you are in a relationship like that for somebody to ask for help. You don't know if you're doing the right thing. You don't know if they're not gonna, you know, the first thing that comes to your mind is, are they gonna believe me? And it's very hard, you know, and so I assume that that's something that was probably going through her head. Will they even believe me? Because I'm sure she had already seen Brian was charming away all of the police officers, because there was many of them. There wasn't just a couple. There was literally, there was a sheriff and there was the, maybe it was a police officer, I apologize, but I'll have to go back and watch the video again and specify what it was. But there were several of them. And so when you have Brian sitting there charming away everybody, obviously that's the first thing that's going to come to her mind. Are they going to believe me? And unfortunately, they did not. They made it look like Brian was the victim and Gabby was the aggressor. And so after this minor fight, basically, Gabby climbed back into the van. She had to go back. I mean, she did admit to her wrongdoing in slapping Laundry, but she said it was only because he was trying to leave her there, which coincides with what the other two witness statements that were released also said. You know, it looked like he was trying to leave her there. He even says, I was trying to push her back, you know. Now, let's move a little bit forward into August. Let's say mid-August. So basically, August 17th through the 23rd, Brian flew back to Florida. Now, we don't specifically know for what, but from our understanding, on August 17th, he flew back to Salt Lake City. I apologize. My writing today is horrible. And on August 23rd, he wanted to rejoin Gabby, which he did. So his attorney, and this is just from what his attorney says, guys. His attorney says that Brian flew back home to obtain some items and basically so that they could, you know, empty the couple's storage unit to save some money. They basically contemplated, you know, extending their trip, that they didn't know when they were coming back, possibly going a little bit more forward. However, the couple had already paid for flights together and they were sharing the expenses. So a lot of people had a lot of speculation with maybe this was his money, this was her money. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It may have been both of their money, but it may have just been an account that had her name on it. Keep in mind, they weren't married, so this bank account could not be in both of their names. Now, remember, there was a warrant out for his arrest in the questioning, because he had spent some money in an account and it was over $1,000, and it could have very easily been both of their money, but it just may have been in her name. Does that make sense? After he returns, August 27th, now we know that she was still alive August 27th because this was when they had that fight inside the Wyoming restaurant. I'm going to tell you something. I personally believe that this is when she went missing. I strongly believe it could have been when she went missing. A woman by the name of Anina Celie Angelo she went to Instagram saying that she had witnessed the Gabby Petito and Brian argument at the Mary Piglet restaurant in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Now, she did say that Laundry was screaming at the hostess. Petito was basically crying and she kept apologizing to him. But these are her exact words. All of the links that I am getting this information from and gathering all of our information from, we will always link in our bio. So I will make sure and put that in there so you can go and, read that for yourself. But start quote, it's basically what they said was, it looked as though they were like almost getting kicked out, Angelo told ABC News. It wasn't necessarily between them. It was more so Gabby abruptly leaving the restaurant crying, and Brian was just evidently really upset, pissed off. I would say Gabby was upset, he was angry, and he was just being very temperamental towards the restaurant staff, end quote. So basically that's what Angelo had said, that, you know, Laundry appeared to be very angry, and Petito seemed to be very distraught. Now, this was the last actual official sighting of the couple. To us, it's a little scary, you know, when you look out, looking in, it's a little scary. Think about it. You're sitting here and you have this huge argument, but then you just don't know what you're going home to. I wonder if she was like scared for her life, because I would have been very much scared. I would have been very scared. I really would have been very scared. I would have been a little bit worried, just for the fact that like the relationship that she was in. Had I personally been through something like that, I think I would have feared possibly a little bit for my life. And if she already knew how he was as a person, I'm pretty sure she was at that moment thinking to herself, like, what is about to happen? Because it's a scary moment. It's a very scary moment. I imagine that she felt maybe a little bit scared or worried. Now, we move forward to August 30th. That was the very last communication that she had with her family. So, Petito basically had sent that last text message to her mom. Now, she did say she was unsure if it was her daughter, if it was somebody else, but that was the actual last message that came from her phone to her mom. Basically, the only message that had been sent out, and it read, "Can you help Stan? I just keep getting his voicemails and missed calls." Now, there was a lot of speculation as far as Stan, because Stan is her grandfather, okay? But the mom says that she would never call him Stan. Like, that would not ever happen. She had never heard him, or I'm sorry, never heard her call him Stan. You know, I think if you have a very close relationship with your grandpa, you're going to be like, "Can you call my grandpa? Can you call Papa?" A lot of people call their grandpas Papa, you know? I don't believe that she would have said Stan. Now, a lot of people do say Stan is an actual, I don't want to say like cover up necessarily, but it's like a word asking for help. I have seen that. I have also read up on that, and it does look like it is. However, we don't know in what way she used it, you know? Now, her family did state that they basically, her last message was not normal behavior, which kind of made them become a little bit more worried. They were a little scared for sure. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe she was going through a rough time at that point, and she was fearing for her life right when she sent that message, or she really did not send that message and it was actually Brian trying to cover it up. So basically, September 1st, Brian Laundrie allegedly returns back home, in which is Northport, and he obviously shares this home with his parents because this is where Gabby and him used to live. But he returns home in her van without her. Now, we've said this many times, obviously, family's going to be worried. Personally, I would be very worried if my daughter left but didn't return. And I'm going to say it was very selfish, very poorly done, and he presented himself very, let's say, very suspicious. You know, her family's trying to get in contact with her from the 1st through the 11th. Now, keep in mind, they didn't officially report her until September 11th. That's when they reported her missing, approximately around 6:55 p.m. But keep in mind that her mom and dad had been trying to contact Brian Laundrie. Now, at one point, there is a police report out there where Gabby Petito's father had actually made his way up to the Northport family's home and tried to get answers from them, but yet he couldn't speak to Brian Laundrie. Nobody allowed him to. Basically, what they did was hand his parents the lawyer's phone number and a card. Now, I'm going to tell you personally, that's the first moment that I'm going to think to myself, and I'm going to say, what the actual hell is this, and why are you giving me a lawyer's card? That would be the first suspicious thing that I would have thought to myself, and I would have, I mean, honestly, I think my gut would have dropped. I don't know what I would have done, but if you think about it, like, I can't just imagine them looking at this card thinking to themselves, like, what the hell has happened? Why does he need a lawyer, and why does he have a lawyer, and my daughter's not here? So basically, that they never understood why he really needed a lawyer, and personally, till this day, I don't either. I just personally think that this was a very cowardly way of honestly going out. If he did, in fact, you know, commit the S word, why? I understand you're guilty, but I hope he left something specifically stating what happened, because everybody is just like stunned. We kind of knew where the case was going, and I'm sure everybody had kind of seen where everything was going, but it's just insane to think that at one point he just can't come out and inform. I believe his parents know what happened. I do, because I think that they were very much aware of what was going on. They just didn't want to say. You know, obviously they're going to try to protect their son. It's their job. September 15th, you know, Laundrie was officially named a person of interest because he wasn't speaking. He had a lawyer already at this point, and he didn't want to say where she was. You know, family's obviously worried. He obviously has an attorney, and the first thing that people think, which is going to be the worst, because this looks ridiculous. How can you not make a statement when your fiance is missing? And I've said this many times, like, her absence to you is obviously not that big of a deal if you're not worried, if you're not out there looking for her. From the beginning, we compared this to the Chris Watts case, and I very much got those vibes. Unfortunately, though, this was a different ending. You know, Chris Watts is behind bars, and unfortunately, Brian Laundrie is not. Fast forward to September 16th, the Northport press conference with the father and the Petito family. basically they just go in, and this is where her father is just begging for her safe return. The Petito and Schmidt family attorney speaks out on the behalf of the families and tries to get Brian to speak up. Okay, so then September 16th and 17th, Laundrie's sister speaks to Good Morning America. Now, keep in mind that at the beginning, she kept saying that she had not seen Brian. She hadn't heard from him. She didn't know where he was at. Nothing was going on. She wasn't too sure what had happened. So she speaks to Good Morning America. She issues a statement to the family of her fiance. Now, she does it in regards to that statement that the family of Gabby Petito had made. I apologize for the miscommunication there, but basically this information is obviously out there, and she goes ahead and she's, you know, in reference to this statement, and she breaks her silence. She says that her and her family are obviously hoping that Gabby is found safe, that she was like a sister to her, that her children loved her so much, that they want her home safe and sound. But it's so hard to believe that she was even genuinely worried about Gabby at that point, because she wasn't out there looking for her. She wasn't pleading the public for information. She wasn't helping looking for her brother, obviously. But, you know, we'll get into that a little bit further down, because she does do another statement with the press that stands outside of her house later on. But so basically September 17th, they find out that there was no connection with the double homicide with Crystal Turner and Kylan Schult, which was also back in Utah. Keep in mind, this was a double homicide that had been made aware of, and there was speculation that they could possibly be linked to one another because of the information that was given from the two women that were murdered before they went missing. September 17th, also, the Laundrie family did report Brian missing. They basically had contacted authorities that Friday. This is kind of when we started seeing the FBI show up at their home, and they started bringing some, you know, evidence out. And so obviously things are starting to move a little bit more now. And that's kind of when they had claimed to apparently not have seen Brian since Tuesday. Now, the police did remove the items from Laundrie's home, and that was to assist in the search of looking for him, you know, that could have been like a t-shirt or something that had his smell so that the dogs could actually go back and trace it. September 18th, the dual search for Petito and Laundrie began. So that's when the police started searching the majority of Florida Wildlife Reserve, and that was that Saturday. They basically started looking for Brian Laundrie. Again, he was a person of interest in the disappearance of Gabrielle or Gabby Petito while they went on their cross-country trip, you know. So the FBI started to hunt for clues. They're looking for Gabby in the National Park of Wyoming, and then basically the search was called off Saturday night by the Northport Police Department because it got too dark. At this point, this is a huge reserve, and so it was taking them days. I mean, it took forever, and it took weeks for them to try to finish and get to where they needed it. It had also rained, so keep in mind that like a lot of the places that they weren't able to access at first were then accessible later. They were basically trying to make sure that they had covered every single part of what they could. So basically the FBI in Denver said Saturday that the agents were conducting ground surveys at the Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. Now, that was with the help of the National Park Service and the local law enforcement agencies that had been helping the FBI also try to find Gabby Petito. Her last known contact with her family members was from that national park, and so that's kind of where they were trying to see if they could find her. Now, keep in mind that the Blue and Buffoon video from their YouTube made a huge difference. It made a huge impact because this is where they find Gabby Petito's body. Now, it's not too far from where the van was. So remember, in this video, you can slowly see somebody closing the door. We don't know if she was already deceased at that time, or if she had already been left, or maybe she had not just yet. But her body was discovered in Wyoming. The FBI basically had found it by law enforcement, or it was found by law enforcement agencies. And basically they had about 2 days searching that same campground, and they were able to finally find it. The death at that point had not been determined just yet. However, her stepdad was one of the ones who positively identified her. I believe it was due to some bracelets that she had on and some clothing that she had previously owned. And so basically on September 20th, the home of the laundries then becomes searched by FBI agents. Obviously, they had a search warrant. They swarmed the home. They went ahead and pulled out the parents of the home, pulled them into a van. Then they were brought back inside. So you can see video and everything of where they were put in the van and then brought. This was huge because everybody was just like shocked. But we thought this was going to be the breaking moment. Maybe this is where there was an arrest. Maybe he had come back and we just didn't know, you know? And so everybody was kind of... You know, everybody was just kind of like shocked when we had kind of sat back and we were slowly trying to develop and, you know, get everything straight and trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen next. I think a lot of people were expecting that shocking moment where we possibly, you know, just see where he is either brought out or somebody brings him out, you know. So we move forward over to September 21st, and basically the autopsy confirms that this body is, of course, indeed Gabby Petito. Of course, they went ahead and ruled this as a homicide. The manner or cause of death was actually still pending at the time, and so they were not entirely sure what it was going to be defined. You know, the results were still going to take some time, and they were unsure, so they were waiting on that. Now we've forward over to September 22nd, and the divers go ahead and join the search for laundry. At this point, everybody is still kind of waiting to see, like, if they are gonna find him. Everybody's still kind of shocked, and a lot of people, honestly, even myself, didn't believe that he was in this national park. I honestly just thought he was on the run somewhere, and I'll tell you my honest opinion here shortly, because I honestly believe that I don't think that he's dead. Maybe it's just because we haven't officially seen him be declared. I mean, they've declared him, they've said that it is him, they've everything, but I don't know why. There's something in me, and I don't think that it's true. But it just may be my not want to be able to actually believe that it is him. You know, maybe we want another outcome, and that's just something that's keeping us from believing and seeing the truth. We go forward to September 23rd. That's when they did issue that arrest warrant for Laundrie, which was because he used the unauthorized Capital One debit card, in which, from our understanding, this is the card of Gabby Petito. Now, that does allow basically law enforcement to arrest Mr. Laundrie. Of course, it would only be, though, for what they were technically looking into, which would have been the fraud charges, but they could have asked questions, you know, as to what happened to Gabby. September 25th, the reward was offered, and there was two separate rewards. Basically, they totaled up to $30,000. However, that was not claimed because, unfortunately, he was not found at that time. Now, mourners at this point, the following day on the 26th of September, begin to start paying their respects. This is when you start seeing people put posters in front of the Laundrie's home. They put the big blown up picture of Gabby, and it's just, you know, the protest begins in front of their home once again. The Laundrie's finally speak out the following day on September 27th with a lousy message. And I say lousy because it was very shitty. They did not even care to come out personally, maybe because they were obviously advised by their attorney, of course, not to do so. But it was just a very crappy message. It was just, we're sorry for your loss, and that's it. I mean, there wasn't much to it. That was it. September 29th, the family of Gabby is officially coming out and speaking. They show their new tattoos. Keep in mind, it's the Schmidt and Petito family that go ahead and show what tattoos they both both sides received, and it was Let It Be and Believe. As y'all remember, that was done in her memory. It was something that she basically had come up with and had tattooed on her. They were trying to avoid basically answering any questions to Brian. That's just what they were advised. Their lawyer obviously told them to keep quiet on that. And they, of course, told the press conference not to do or ask any questions as far as that goes. September 30th, two big things happen. So the FBI returns to the Brian Laundrie home, and they also are able to obtain phone records. So when they return to the home, they basically go in looking for more belongings to Brian Laundrie, which would help them and their canines assist in the search for Brian. And then these records actually show that they had a call for service to 911 between September 10th through September 27th. They weren't basically not necessarily 911 calls. They were just initiated by officers, but they were still made. You know, it could have been, you know, because of the fact that the father had showed up, there was people already in the front. It could have been for whatever reason. But there was one specifically on September 10th, and that was the day before Gabby was reported missing. October 1st, that body cam video officially is out, which is the one that we, you know, were looking at and observing when we saw the altercation back from August. The family does speak out on social media around October 5th. They basically go to Twitter to just kind of, you know, say, Brian, you need to surrender yourself. Please come, you know, talk to the police. They try to basically speak out on that. Now, they just, you know, they're requiring that information. You know, they even go as far to say that Mama Bear is getting angry. Turn yourself in. It's just something that has to be done. You know, you have the stepmom and the mom and the stepdad and the dad pleading for their daughter to come back home. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen. You know, they then turn around and try to plead for their, you know, the person who is actually in charge of doing this harm to their beautiful daughter to turn himself in. So what more is left at this point? You know, they're trying to do everything that they can. They're trying to also mourn the loss of their daughter. So I'm assuming that it's a very hard, you know, time in their life at that point. But October 5th, Cassie Laundrie actually pleads for her brother to come home. That's basically when she speaks to ABC News and she, you know, pleads for him to come home. She just begins to say that, you know, Gabby was a very big part of their life, that they loved her, and that if he was angry, it was okay. If things happened, it was fine, but they needed to do what was best. But I don't know. Honestly, I see all of her videos and I just don't see any of it. I don't see that anywhere it being sincere or anything to that matter. October 7th, Brian's dad does join the search, which was a very big thing. A lot of people were wondering when they were going to join the search because everybody was so confused as to why they weren't joining the search for Gabby. So they finally got up around October 7th and his dad joins the search. Unfortunately, at that point, there wasn't anything that they didn't find anything. And that was at the Carlton Reserve. They basically went to the spot where they believe or claimed to have been thought where Brian may have been hiding. But at that point, their attorney did release a statement. They just said that, you know, Chris was helping law enforcement that day. They were just trying to help find Brian. He was just asked if, you know, if Brian had any favorite trails or if there was like a certain spot where he continuously like went to, just so it would help them kind of narrow their search down. Because keep in mind, the Carlton Reserve is really, really big and it's very dangerous as well. Now, right, remember that happened October 7th. There's a silence in the coming days. There's not really much going on. However, October 12th, the coroner says that Gabby Petito was strangled. That's when they announced the press conference, and the coroner does go ahead and say that she died by strangulation. So it was a homicide, but died by strangulation. He also did estimate that her body was out there for about 3 to 4 weeks at the time her body was found. And so it took a while. Again, we go back in reference to the fact that the body did decompose, but it didn't decompose so much because of the way that the weather had been the following days. It definitely, I want to say, helped a little bit because there was a lot of cold. And remember that the decomposition like stage stops a little bit, or it slows down anyway, in the form that when it's super, super cold, like it takes a little bit longer for the body to decompose. October 17th, they officially found the Gabby Petito Foundation, and they hold their very first fundraiser in Long Island, which is amazing. They basically have this amazing page that you can go to, and they are holding this amazing fundraiser. They're trying to help people find their kids. They have a mission statement, and it's amazing. You know, they're trying to do everything they can. They want to make sure that their daughter's name is not forgotten and that they, you know, they keep it alive. That fundraiser raised about $13,700 for a foundation, and it was just amazing. It had an amazing turnout for them. We fast forward to this past month in October. So October 20th, two things happen. A medical examiner is called to the park. And so, like, basically the medical examiner was called in by the Sarasota Sheriff's Office, and they were called into the preserve. What happened is they're obviously looking for Brian out here. Now, the first thing that everybody was like, please don't let it be Brian, because if it is, it's just going to be horrible, because then that just means he committed the S word or he was killed by whatever. It could have been by an alligator, snakes, anything at all. You know, maybe he got lost or it just rained too much. But I think we all kind of know why he left. Everybody is very well aware that his parents made a very big statement stating that they were scared that he was going to hurt himself. He did leave his home with a gun. So I think a lot of people were a little scared. So at that point, Brian Laundrie's parents, along with the FBI and local authorities, had found some items belonging to Brian off of the trail that he frequented. So at this point, Roberta Laundrie has already come with Chris and the FBI agents, and they begin to look. It's so funny that all of a sudden, like, they just find these things, you know? The cops have been looking for the longest time, and the FBI, like, you have the FBI who does, like, absolutely everything they can, and it's just so funny. You have the two parents, and then all of a sudden, hey, I found these things. They're right here. So that same day, they find possible human remains. They believe that they are that of Brian Laundrie, just being because of what they found near it. They had found a notebook, a backpack, you know, stuff like that. I'm very curious to know, like, what was inside of the notebook. Not so much the backpack, but the notebook. Because the backpack, from my understanding, was a waterproof backpack. So, like, no water would get in. But I really would like to know, like, what's inside that notebook. I wonder if he ever, like, jotted down, like, what he went through, what was going on, what actually happened. Maybe we'll get an answer soon, you know? Maybe her family will have that answer that they require. We as the public, not so much need that answer. It's nice to have, because it gives you that sense, like the sensation of this job was done right. But the family, more than anybody, like, absolutely needs it. So they basically confirm, you know, that the new details that Wednesday in Florida. And so they just kind of say, hey, you know, we found these remains earlier. We believe that they are Brian Laundrie's. Now, the following day, they were confirmed to be Brian Laundrie's, and that was confirmed by dental records. So they definitely bring, like, a small close to this portion of the manhunt, but now it bring a very big open to this new case that we're here slowly waiting to see where it's going. From my understanding, the family has still not received the remains of Brian Laundrie, but I did know that they were going to cremate him. From their understanding, like, they basically said that it was just, that's what was going to be done. Keep in mind, it was not a body, it was remains. So they were decomposed, possibly. There was possibly not parts officially 100% there either. So it's just so ironic to me how his death happened. And that's exactly the same manner of death, you know, not exactly 100%, because he probably wasn't strangled, but it was similar to what Gabby went through. You know, she was left out and she had also remains, and it wasn't like the full body. And so it's just so odd that it happened kind of similar. But we have not confirmed, you know, exactly what has happened. They just know that they have found the remains of Brian Laundrie. So the search has officially ended for Brian Laundrie at this point. They are no longer looking for him. They have his remains. They are working on everything. However, the cause of death was, like, undetermined. And I think that's where everybody's kind of at a standstill, because they're still trying to figure out, like, what is going on exactly? Where is this going? What happened? You know what I mean? Like, they're things that have to be done, and they've got to dot all their I's, cross all their T's, and make sure everything is done correctly. It's something that not only are they looking at, but so is the public, and they're going to be criticized if something is done wrong, you know? So I think that they're just definitely trying their absolute best to make sure that they get everything done as they're supposed to. It's so hard, you know, it's so, so hard to think about not getting that closure. Because I am somebody who looks out in, I find it so hard to think that her family would not get that closure. They deserve it. You know, they definitely deserve it. It's something that they need. They need to do that so they can move on as a family together. And they've already received the remains of Gabby, and they've had her funeral, from my understanding. And so they've also done, you know, where everybody came in, and it was amazing. I don't know if you watched it on live or anything, but if you didn't, definitely go Google it or look it up on Facebook. It was amazing. It was an amazing, amazing way of giving her proper goodbye. And so many people lined up to say their goodbyes and take some flowers and, you know, kind of show their love to the family at that point. So it was pretty neat. But at this point in time, BSN Coffee officially closes out the chapter of Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie until we have further information and we look into more amazing cases just like these ones, and if not, just even crazier. But we are definitely going to be airing the episode of Tom Brown. Again, if none of you know, his actual name is Thomas Brown, but if none of you know who Thomas Brown is, like I stated in the beginning, he is a teenager who was initially from Canadian. I'm originally from Amarillo, so this one kind of hit a little bit close to home. Canadian wasn't too far from Amarillo. And a lot of us basically wrapped ourselves around this case when it happened. It happened back in 2016. His anniversary is coming up on Thanksgiving. So we would definitely like to air our episode for his anniversary, and we will be getting that up here pretty soon. But we ask that you please definitely keep their family also in their prayers as they try to find that closure, because they're unable to still find the answers that they need for them to move forward as well, you know. His mom and his family still need to grieve. I'm sure this is just as hard for them. Every single Thanksgiving, it was a very important day. It's the day where all of our families meet and get together. So you just kind of think about it, and it's very hard to see how things are, you know, are just developing and how they just slowly stop developing after some time. They do have a Facebook page, so you can go over to Moms for Tom. Find all of the information. The person actually in charge of his investigation is the Klein Investigations and Consulting. So definitely go over there, because there's some amazing podcasts on there. Also, there's also a website. There's amazing information as to what has gone on and the updates and stuff. But I will definitely be airing that podcast for y'all as well. But go like and follow and share their page as well. Let's get this word out. Thomas deserves this, you know, amazing justice. He deserves it, because everybody deserves that justice. Everybody deserves to give that to their family and see where this goes, so they can get the proper information and know what they can do for themselves and their family. However, this is where I leave y'all, everybody. I am, again, so sorry for taking so long to air an episode. We had a couple of things going on, waiting for equipment as well. So I really just want to thank y'all once again from the bottom of my heart. Do not forget, please do not forget to share and like and subscribe our Spotify, Pandora, Applecast, everything, anything you're listening to. We would definitely love for you to definitely go over to our Facebook page as well. It's BSN and Coffee. You can find us through at Podcast and Coffee on Facebook, or just type in B.SN and Coffee and we will pop up. Go like, comment, subscribe. We have all of our information there, all updated. That's where I send all of our podcasts to as well. So I, once again, just want to thank y'all so much from the bottom of my heart for everything that y'all have done, liked, shared, and still continue to listen. Once again, thank y'all so much. And your host, Alejandra, is out. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of y'all's week and weekend.